Psalms chapter number 23. In the lives of children of God, at some point, we all will find ourselves in a valley. And by valley, I refer to a dark place. A place in which you see no way out. Maybe that's where you're dwelling this morning. You find yourself in a valley where you see no way out of the financial situation that you're in. Or maybe you see no way out of that bad relationship that you're in. Maybe for some it's a dead-end job. Wherever you are, you find yourself stuck. You even believe if I change this one thing, everything else will line up. God graced you in that one thing change, you finally graduate from college. And nothing changed about your situation. Now you're still making the same, even though you have a college degree. Or maybe your life is still as empty as it was, even though you just got married. Because you thought in someone else, you'll find happiness. Happiness, peace, and joy can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that relationship with Jesus Christ, we all find ourselves stuck. But because God will not withhold any good thing from you, God sometimes will move in your life so that He can move you out of your current situation. The problem with God moving us is that, the truth told, I like where I am. I know He beats me, but you don't know it. I know my situation is bad, and I have to rob Peter to pay Paul, but I've learned how to play that game, so I'm really okay right there. And so God comes in your life, and God begins to stretch you. God begins to tell you about a place of being debt-free, but you can't wrap your mind around that because you were trained up to believe I'll always be in debt. I'll always be in a dead-end relationship. I'll always be single. And so you begin to think those things about yourself. And God then steps into your life. And when God steps into your life, the first thing that God wants you to acknowledge is that the Lord is your shepherd. Amen. Now, in dealing with sheep, you all know that sheep are dumb, defenseless, and directionless. Don't you find it amazing that God calls us sheep? I didn't say that. God said that. So my thinking, you know, I'm kind of educated. And I was saying, well, how can you make me in your image and then you turn around and disrespect me by calling me a sheep? Because I can think. Because I have a mind. And I can reach some fairly decent conclusions about some things. The problem is, wisdom comes from God, and only God can give wisdom. And so God sometimes will lead us through the valley in order so we can have a closer relationship with Him. God is after trust with you and I. In order for you to serve God, you gotta trust God. You can't trust God until you first experience the love of God. Now, God expresses His love in three shapes or forms. And you know this, that God love through character. That's who he is. He expresses his love through covenant based off the words, the promises that he made to us. And finally, God will express his love through Calvary, the simple act of dying on the cross. And so God has already showed us that he loves us. Whatever you're asking God for this morning is less than what he's already given you. You're asking God to pay your bill, and he says, I can do one better than that. I can give you my only begotten son. You asking God for healing, and he says, I can do one better than that. I gave you my only begotten son. When we realize the power of the cross, everything else in life lines up. So then the word of God becomes as simple as, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. But because we are sheep, we can't seek anything. We just follow the lead. Okay? Because God wants us to depend on him, he wants us to follow him because he is our shepherd. The problem that we have is because we have a mind and we're educated, is that sometimes we believe that we can think of a better way of doing things. And so because we think that we have a better way of doing things, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. So in other words, God wants us to relax and allow him to lead us. But we are always fighting with God. I found it fascinating the way that shepherds dealt with sheep in the Old Testament. And that is how they dealt with them, Tyler right here, is that they would grab... Hey, Tyler. They would grab a little sheep, a little ewe lamb. And so the shepherd would try to get the little ewe lamb to go one direction, but he'll wander off in another direction. Because God loves you, he go back and he gets you once again. Come out of the club. Because that's where you wander to. And so he bring you back into the church again. And he says, now this time I want to bless you. All I need for you to do is just to walk with me. But the sheep wander off again. This time he goes back to sell the house that he was in on Friday. But God has to go back and get him again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so he keeps guiding and keeps going back to get the sheep. Watch this. Then the shepherd will take the little sheep and he will break his arm. When he breaks his arm, he can't wander anymore. What some of you are going through, God has broke your arm. Because you keep wandering back to the club. I'm talking to you. Because you keep wandering back into that same relationship. So God had to break your arm, break your leg, so he can get you to stand by him. Now the problem when the shepherd breaks the sheep leg is that now he can't walk. And so now he has to carry him. See, I know you thought you were doing it on your own, but God has been carrying you. Even though you've been broke and broken, God's still been carrying you. As a matter of fact, in the midst of God carrying you, you got to get this. What God was doing, because now your leg and your arm was broken, as he begins to carry you, you become attached to him. Because you begin to depend on the shepherd to carry you through your mess, through your storm, through your battles, through your weakness. And then one day, storm comes back together.
All right.
And when it comes back together, you forget that you can do some things on your own. And so now, because you've been depending on God, even though you can walk, you stay attached to it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You see, what God does sometimes is God will take us through a process in which He breaks us so that we can become attached to Him. Now, when God breaks you, God often will take you through a place called a valley to break you. Point number one is that God will leave you in the pit. God will leave you in the pit. Yes, He loves you, but He still will leave you in the pit. Because it is in the pit that God gets your attention. See, because as long as things is going well, you really don't care much about God. You will stop by on the way to work and say thank you for the job, but you won't say thank you the way that you will say it when you're in the unemployment line and then He bless you with a job. Oh, that's a real thank you right there. So God sometimes will take you through the pit. God will lead you in verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, whatever God is doing in your life, you need to know that what you're going through is worth it to get to. Whatever it is that you're going through, it's worth it so that you can get to wherever God is taking you. But now God is just not going to bounce in your life and allow you to jump over the storms, allow you to jump over the valley, over the pit. It is in the pit that God begins to prepare you. Well, let's do this an easier way, God. Can you just bless me over here without the pit? And He says, no, I need to fashion you. I need to mold you. I need to create you more in my image. And so God begins to lead us through the valley. And in the valley, it gets dark in the valley. And it gets so dark that you see no way out. And the things that used to be available to you, all of a sudden, they disappear. In the valley, things get cold. Relationships that used to be cool, now folk walk by you and they don't speak to you because they think you may ask them for $20. In the valley, you'll discover that I'm going through something and all the friends that I used to have, when times are hard, everybody seems to disappear in your life. And you thought that you should be angry at those people, but God is saying, I need to remove some folk from you so that you can see me. See, because light really shines in the darkness. In the valley, God shows up, you really know that it's God. Have you ever found yourself going through something, everybody disappeared, every little sense of hope that you had, all of a sudden it was gone, and then God showed up. And when God showed up, won't God show out in your life? Won't God open a door? Won't God fight your battles? Won't God make a way out of no way? And see, when God shows up, He says, now the purpose of you going through the pit was so that I can prepare you. And He says, now what are you preparing me for? And God wants us to understand that what He's preparing us for is His presence. Why do I need to be prepared to stand in the presence of God? Because my righteousness is as filthy rags. And so God sends us through the pit. He begins to prepare us so He can move us in His presence. I find it amazing what David said. And what David says is, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here we are. I'm sitting here on this side, ready to eat. And there's Deacon Don sitting on that side. And I know that he just stabbed me in the back. And not only is Deacon Don over there, but he also has Deacon Jeff over there. So it's two against one. Some of you keep looking at your situations and you keep adding one, plus one equal two. And what you don't understand is one plus faith in God equal victory. I don't care how you cut it. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what you do. As long as God is for you, who can be against you? You know, you really don't know that you're on God's side until people begin to come against you. As long as everybody is liking you, loving on you, and everything is peaches and cream in your life, you better believe you're not traveling on the right road. But as soon as God begins to deal with you and your haters stand up and your backbiters stand up and all the naysayers stand up, you need to begin to praise God right then, because God is up to something. God is taking you through the pit. He's preparing you because he says, now I'm going to sit you down in the presence of your enemies. Now I find it amazing because he says, now once I sit you down, I'm going to prepare the table. Then he says, I'm going to anoint your head with oil. The anointing is the presence of God. The anointing of God is the power of God. So I know that the haters are around me, but I've been anointed for this season. You know why you're still standing? Because you've been anointed for where you are. You know why nobody can take your job? Because God has graced you in this season. He knows you're not qualified. He knows you jacked up, but he says, I got plans for your life. And no devil in hell can separate you from the love of God. Because God is saying, I'm working on you and I'm taking you somewhere. So he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. And then he anoints us. In other words, he moves us into his presence. When he moves us into his presence, verse number 5. Then in verse number 6 it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee. In other words, he says, I'm going to take you through the pit. I'm going to prepare you in the pit. I'm going to move you into my presence because I want you to get to my promise. Surely, I promise you, surely, goodness and mercy. Not about how you feel. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Watch this. He says, what I promised you, I'm going to let it follow you. You don't got to go looking for anything for God to bless you. God is saying what you need is behind you. Every tear that you ever cry, every pain that you ever experience, God is saying that's goodness and mercy. It's behind you. God has a way of taking everything that you've been through, turn that thing around, and now goodness and mercy is following you. God is saying, whatever I promised you, I'm going to deliver it to you. Whatever I promise you, I'm going to get it to you. And so he says, goodness and mercy shall follow you. But he says, all you got to do is dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, I thought that what he was saying is that I got to keep coming to church. That's not it. What he was saying is that I promise you some things, and if you dwell in the house, in other words, if you abide in the Spirit of God, he says, I'll give you generational blessings.
Amen.
House, dwelling in the house there, has nothing to do with a building. What he is speaking of is your lineage, not your house. You need to be excited that you are in a place to bless your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and you don't even have to work for it. Because there you go, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. In other words, God is saying, I'll bless you in such a way that even your children will be blessed. Even your grandchildren will be blessed. We always talk about generational curses. But even though generational curses exist, what he's trying to get us to do is to tap into a generational blessing. You need to understand that where God is taking you, it's not for you. The blessing that you're experiencing is not your blessing. See, God says, I'll bless you to be a blessing to someone else. If you learn that what you you have, if you let it go and let God work it out, God is saying, I got enough for you and your children and your children's children if you would just trust me. I'm going to take you through some stuff, but you won't get stuck there because God is still in control. He says, if you're in my presence, I'll open doors for you. If you're in my presence, I'll give you a job. If you're in my presence, I'll be healing for you. If you're in my presence, I'll make a way. If you're in my presence, I'll be your bridge over troubled water. If you're in my presence, he says, I'll do a supernatural thing in your life. But God wants us to come into his presence. Now, when you move into the presence of God, you need to understand everybody can't go with you in the presence of God. You got some true friends in your life, and you got some fair weather friends. Now, the fair weather friends are there as long as everything is going nice, as long as the weather is fair. But when a storm comes, a true friend will step into your life. Everybody's not your true friend. A true friend will see you through when others think that you aren't through. A true friend will perform when others are pretending. A true friend will stand in the corner in the shadow so you can shine. They're not intimidated by your blessings. They want to see you being blessed. If you want to know whether or not you got a true friend, tell somebody what God is doing in your life. And then look and see who's shouting with you. Everybody will shout with you. Everybody will give it praise. And so God begins to take us through. And he says, I allow some stuff to come in your life. Now, when I allow some stuff to come in your life, I just need you just to stay there. God, do you know the hell that I'm going through? Yeah, I know. Just stay there. Do you know they're going to shut the plant down? Just stay there. See, what God wants you to know is that they can shut the plant down, they can shut this city down, but surely goodness and mercy is going to follow you. I wish I had a witness here this morning that when you even count up your little check, it's not enough anyway. So you can go ahead and take the balance of that, because God still will make a way for me. That little check that I get, it don't pay the bills. My God is supplying all my needs. I wish I had about 30 crazy folks that would go ahead and wave goodbye to your head to understand that God is turning your situation around. I wish I had somebody that could testify this morning that I've been up and I've been down, but God has always been around. I wish I had somebody that would testify this morning that I'm going through something, and it may be a little painful, but I know the promise of God. God said, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. God said, you will take care of my enemies. God said, you will fight my battle. God said, you will be a friend over troubled water. God said, you will rescue my child. God said, he'll be a healer. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I don't know about you, but God is my shepherd. He guides me in some strange places, and sometimes I don't want to go. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes I go and I run. But he comes and he gets me, and he says, nothing will separate you from the love of God. I'm so glad that he loves me. I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad I didn't have to go looking for God. I'm glad he came to me so I can never lose him. In the midst of my sin, he's right there. He's not participating, but he's right there. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. You got to understand that the responsibility of the shepherd to a sheep is to protect and to provide. I'll protect you from harm. I'll even protect you from your own crazy actions. You go ahead and give it some praise. You know you're you crazy. You know you do some stupid stuff. You know you. You know you. You know you. You will do some crazy stuff. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, who reached back and rescued me, I'll be lost. But thank God he'll never leave me. Thank God he'll never forsake me. Thank God he'll never. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He says, I know you're going through something, but I got you. See, I'll even lead you through the pit sometimes, but I'm preparing you. Because I know I got a promise for you on the other side. You want the promise? He says, go through the pit. Go through the valley. And the shadow of death. It's going to look bad, but a shadow cannot hurt you. He says, you got to go through that thing. See, this is what God is saying. You're going through something, and it's just a shadow. It's not as bad as you think it is. Oh, God, they may do this, and they may do that. And God is saying they can't do any more than I allow them to do. Why are you worried about that? Why are you looking over there? You got to look toward the hill, which cometh your help. Understanding that all of my help comes from the Lord. If I keep my eyes, keep my focus on God, I don't care what's going on the side, because that really doesn't matter to me. Don't you know God will take the Red Sea and he'll part the Red Sea so you can walk on dry ground? If God will do that, don't you know God will walk you through your troubles? Don't you know he'll walk you right by your haters? Don't you know he'll walk you right by the naysayers? God got you. And he says, if you just surrender to me, he says, I'll protect you. I'll provide for you if you just surrender to me. And so David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And because I shall not want, God will meet all of your needs. That thing that you pray about in your secret closet, and when you allow yourself to dream, you don't even believe it can happen. And David reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Everything that I need, God will get it to me. Everything. Remember I said to you earlier, whatever you asking God for today is less than what he gave you on the cross. Now if he can do that on the cross, your little stuff is nothing. If he can give you his only begotten son, and you talking about a pink car and a blue car and a new house, and he says, no, goodness and mercy shall follow thee. He says, I'll take care of that. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom. And all that other stuff, the car and the house, he said, baby, I have to give you that. That's not even thought. I just give you that. That's nothing in comparison to what I've already given you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever, that's you included, whosoever believeth in him. All I got to do is believe. Yeah. See, the cross was the payment. And so he says, if you believe, you have everlasting life. Would you stand with me as we close this morning? I want to invite someone to come to Jesus this morning. I want to invite that person that is here this morning. That person that is not sure about your salvation. With everyone this morning, you're not sure about your salvation and you need a church home, God wants you to come. Another this morning. Hallelujah. not sure about your salvation, we open the doors of the church and we extend an invite to you. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he died for you, he says, come. Come as you are. I'm speaking to someone this morning, and I want you to come. I want you to walk. You've been looking for the right day. This is your day. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come. Or maybe you're here and you just need a church home. Your salvation is filled. Looking for a church home? We're looking for you. God is looking for you. Would there be others? God is looking for you. While the blood is running warm in your veins, you still have a chance. And God is saying, come as you are. You don't have to fix you. You don't have to stop what you're doing. You can't do any of those things. When you come to God, God will empower you to do those things. He accepts you the way that you are. He made you. He knows you. If God is not judging you, stop judging yourself. If God forgives you, you need to forgive yourself. I'm talking to somebody who needs to come to Jesus this morning. Not sure about your salvation? Or maybe you are. You need a church home. I'm speaking to you. You come. I wouldn't let the person to my left or right stop me from meeting Jesus Christ this morning. I would come. I would come. I would come this morning.
For you, and we thank God for your obedience this morning.